Father, we adore you this morning. We love you. We thank you for meeting us here this morning. Father, that is the cry of our heart today. As we worship you and we sing and we say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. Father, you are good. You're so good to us every day. Even through 2020 and these difficult times, you are still good. Father, I thank you that we can gather together under the name of Jesus and lift up that name. Father, bless our time this morning as we open up your word. Reveal yourself to us. In your precious and holy name, I pray. Amen. Well, good morning. How is everyone today? It's good to see you, and it's always fun for me to be able to sit out there and just worship with you guys and hear you all singing and be able to just be a part of that with you and to sing. They did a fantastic job. And those ladies singing this morning and everybody on an instrument, just to be able to come together and worship, man, it gets me so excited. And that last song, I think every time I preach, I make sure that Revelation song is sung because that song just pumps me up. It gets me so excited, and that song is such a powerful song. And so I appreciate everyone singing and just worshiping this morning. I want to start off this morning and just mention something about Sheldon. He's doing well. He had a surgery Wednesday. And I'm sure he's home right now, probably watching on the couch at his jammies or something, and just watching the service. So Sheldon, if you are watching this morning, just know that we're praying for you and for Haley, and thankful for what God is doing, and hopefully you'll be restored to good health soon and can be back. His surgery was a little bit more difficult than what they originally thought it was going to be, so I think his recovery may be that as well, but just keep praying for him. He appreciates you guys so much. He wanted me to make sure and say thank you to you guys on behalf of him and Haley for all the prayers and those of you that have reached out. They don't need anything, and those of you that have asked, we appreciate that. Just continue to pray for him as he recovers, and hopefully he'll be back very, very soon. He has been doing this series called Finding and Following and out of the book of John, and last week we read that passage about the sheep and how sheep need a shepherd, and we have to acknowledge that we need a shepherd and that we know our shepherd's voice. And this week, we're gonna fast forward a chapter in John chapter 11 and look at a passage that we all know, we've all read many times and heard many times, and that's Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead and out of the grave. And so I want us to look at that, and hopefully maybe in a new light this morning. I think sometimes we hear these stories so much that maybe they lose a little bit of their power and effect because we've heard them so many times. But I want to talk about death for just a minute before we venture into the passage, and death and funerals. You know, it's not something that we like to talk about. No one likes to talk about death. It's not something that gets us all excited and say, yeah, let's talk about that. I want to pick out, you know, the songs at my funeral and let's go look at caskets. Nobody does that. It's weird and it's awkward and it makes us uncomfortable. But it's something that we all have in common because every one of us, our life will end in death. And so it's something that we have to recognize and we have to talk about from time to time. You know, a few years ago, I had a friend, someone that I grew up with, that passed away. And she, in the last few years of her life, had made some decisions that weren't the best. And there were consequences to those decisions. And she lost a lot of things. And her husband and many other things through addiction and just different things like that. Well, at the funeral, we all went and it was packed. And it was a good funeral. We were celebrating her life and remembering and laughing and things like that. And then her husband or ex-husband, I can't exactly remember the situation at the time, got up and started talking. And it started off okay, but very quickly kind of started going down this strange rabbit hole. And he began to criticize her. And he began to talk about all of these things that probably should have been kept private. And it got really weird and uncomfortable. And I remember thinking of that, this feeling that was just welling up inside of me, like I wanted to run up there and steal the microphone from him. Because it was just strange, and I thought, you know, we should be celebrating our life and remembering all the good things and not talking about this stuff. And it was just, it was really odd. And on the flip side, I remember back in June of 2014, when my grandma passed away. She had been dealing with ALS in the last few months of her life, and that funeral was amazing. And yes, we were sad that she was gone. But we remembered all the fun times, and we laughed, and we talked about things that we used to do. And as a family, I remember we used to sit in her living room, and my uncle would play guitar, and I would get my guitar out. And that's kind of how I learned to start playing guitar, was learning all these songs from different genres, you know, the Eagles or Boston or John Denver. And one of her favorite songs was Country Roads by John Denver. And we used to sit around in a circle, and we would all sing it, and we would argue over what the lyrics were to the second verse, because this was before we could pull up our phone and, you know, look it up. So you just had to know it. And we would argue over that. And my aunt, who's sitting at the back, would argue over what key it was in, because it was always too high for her, regardless of what key it was in. And so we always had such a good time. And so we sang that song. We started off the funeral by singing a very upbeat version of How Great Thou Art. And it just set the mood, this tone of celebration. And then one of the things we did, she asked me years before, I mean, she wasn't even sick, and she said, "Brad, when I die, I want you to sing The Dance by Garth Brooks at my funeral." And so we did that, and a lot of the worship team was a part of that, and we played and we did that song, and it was awesome, and we laughed, and we remembered all these things, and it was a good time celebrating her. And then about a month ago, her husband, my grandpa, passed away, and we had that funeral, and it was the same thing. We remembered all the fun stuff, and we laughed, and we cried a little bit, but it was a celebration of his life. So, you know, death doesn't have to be so strange and so awkward. I think we need to learn to embrace it and not be afraid of it. Now, let's take that, and let's look at what happened with Lazarus in John chapter 11. If you have your Bibles, I want you to grab them. We're not going to read the entire chapter, but we are going to read a lot of it. So let's look at it. John chapter 11, we're going to start in verse 1. "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.' And when he heard this, Jesus said, 'This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it.' Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days." Now that last verse confuses me, because the way I want to read it is, so when he heard that Lazarus was sick, Jesus rushed as quickly as he could to Bethany to be with the family. But no, it says, so when he heard he was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. Now let's skip ahead to verse 11. "After he had said this, he went on to tell them, 'Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up.' And naturally, the disciples, straight over their head, 'Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better.' Well, Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly," and I imagine there's probably a little bit of sarcasm in Jesus' voice, because he's like, "Man, you guys never get what I'm saying. Lazarus is dead." I mean, it's almost like Lazarus is dead. "Listen to what I'm saying. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. So he didn't just wait a little bit to come. He waited long enough that Lazarus had died. They'd had a funeral. They buried him in this tomb. They moved the rock over it, and that was it. And he'd been in there for 4 days, so he waited for a long time. Now let's jump ahead to verse 21. Martha said to Jesus, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And I could almost hear Martha here in this next sentence that she's about to say, almost a little annoyed, kind of like she feels like Jesus is patronizing her, because Martha knows the scriptures. And Martha says, I know he's going to rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Again, over her head. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God who has come into the world. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her were also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him? But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Well, Jesus once more was deeply moved. He came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, here's Martha again, always knows the right thing to do. But Lord, by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. And then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Like I said, I think we've heard this story so many times and we're conditioned to it that we miss so much. We're like, yeah, Jesus brought him back from the dead. Hello, Jesus brought someone back from the dead. Like, this is a big deal. And I love how this paints this picture of Jesus during this, that, you know, he's not a know-it-all. It talks about him being troubled. It talks about, I mean, he listens to these people. But what about Lazarus? What about the central character in this story? Who is he? What's important about him? Well, first of all, like it says, he's the brother to Mary and to Martha. Now, this is the same Mary and Martha that you remember back in Luke, that Martha made this big meal and she's working really hard and doing all this stuff in the kitchen. And Mary's not helping her because Mary's just sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Martha gets all huffy because Mary doesn't want to help out. And Jesus says, oh, no. She's right where she needs to be. Jesus was very close to this family, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They were very close. He met with them. He stayed with them a lot. But Lazarus, now this is cool, and I didn't realize this until I started doing some research. Lazarus actually means God has helped. So if you think about it, when he was born and his parents decided to name him Lazarus, they had no idea what was going to happen in his life. But they named him God has helped. How much can God help you any more than bringing you back from the dead? His name is God has helped. So what's important about Lazarus' death? What do we need to take away from this passage? Well, first of all, that verse that talks about Lazarus being dead and in the tomb for 4 days, and then Jesus is going to come, it's a foreshadowing of Jesus' own death. And that's an easy thing to see. But the second part, and I think the thing that we miss a lot of times, is that it shows us that Jesus is human, his humanity. The shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept, those two words. Now, why did he cry? You know, the people that were around there just assumed that he was upset and because he loved Lazarus so much, and Lazarus was dead. And so naturally, that's why Jesus is emotional about this. But why would Jesus be emotional about Lazarus dying? He knew what he was going there to do. He knew exactly what was going to happen. I tried to put myself in his shoes. Had I known that a good friend of mine was going to die, but that I was going to go there and I had the power to raise him from the dead, I would be excited and almost couldn't keep it a secret. And I would be pumped to be able to show them, man, look what God can do. Now, I think Jesus was emotional, and it says a couple times how he was troubled in his spirit, because this isn't how things were supposed to be. There wasn't supposed to be death. There wasn't supposed to be pain and suffering. But because of what happened with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, that is now a reality for all of us. And so Jesus was troubled by this because the human side of him became overcame with emotion. Because he felt for his friends and for his family. It shows us that he will meet you exactly where you are, that he identifies with your pain and with your suffering. He comes to us when we're weak and when we're broken, when we don't know what else to do. That's Jesus' humanity. Let's look at Jesus' call. I love it. In verse 43, it says that he says it loudly, "Lazarus, come out." My granddad had been a preacher for most of his life, and I remember every time that he would preach a sermon and talked about Lazarus, he always said that when Jesus called him, he had to say Lazarus, because had he just said come out, every dead person in the neighborhood would have gotten up and come out of their tombs. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but it makes sense to me. But he said, "Lazarus, come out." Now, Lazarus was dead, so he pretty much didn't have anything going on. He had no distractions in his life. You could say almost he was at rock bottom. It was really easy for him to hear Jesus' call at that point, because there was nothing else going on. It was easy to hear him. I don't know about you, but I've realized that it's a lot easier for me to hear Jesus when I'm at the bottom than when I'm up on the top of the mountain. Because when I'm on the top of the mountain and everything's going good, I have a tendency to want to pat myself on the back and say, "Look what I did to get here. Look all the things that I've done." But when I'm at the bottom and things aren't going well and everything seems against me and my back is against the wall, what do we typically do at that point? We reach out to God. We're like, I've tried everything on my own. It's not working. So, Lord, just take over and let me know what to do. And it's easy to hear God at that point, because everything else has gone away. There's nowhere else to turn. I think we all know this verse in the book of Psalm, verse 46 and 10, and it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among all the nations. I will be exalted on the earth." I'm not sure that Lazarus could have been any more still at that point in time. He had nothing left. His only hope was Jesus. So I want to ask you a question this morning. What's keeping you from hearing Jesus' call today? What's distracting you? What's breaking up that connection? I forgot to mention this in the first service, but 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, we had the Adventure Week day camp down at the High Plains Retreat Center for the kids. And Julie was talking about our connection with God and our relationship with God with the kids, and how things can get in the way and stop that connection from happening. You know those Bluetooth speakers you can hook your phone up to through Bluetooth and it'll play music? Well, she wrapped the Bluetooth speaker in aluminum foil and then tried to play through her phone. Well, it wouldn't work. Just that thin layer of foil stopped the connection. It only takes a small thing to stop that connection with God, and we can't hear him. And so we have to be careful and always keep that stuff away. So let me ask you again, what is keeping you from hearing Jesus today? Is it just regular things that go on in your life? Maybe it's stress and anxiety, like Julie mentioned. Those things become very easy to just take over everything. He's always calling you. We just have to be still and we can hear him. Quit trying to do it ourselves. And the last thing I want to mention, I'm going to look at verse 44 again. I love this. He said, take off the grave clothes and let him go. So I want to ask you something today. Are you still wearing grave clothes? You know, the Bible tells us that when we become a follower of Jesus, that we become a new creation. And so when we become a new creation, the old is gone. The old becomes not important anymore. And we have to take off our grave clothes and we have to walk out of that grave. When Jesus said, Lazarus, come out, he didn't say, Lazarus, come out and just live and stay here now for the rest of your life. In verse 44, he told the people around him to take off his grave clothes and let him go. I know I'm guilty of this all the time. I know I'm a new creation. But I don't always take off those grave clothes. And I keep carrying this heavy junk with me, this baggage, this rotten, smelly stuff. And I need to take that stuff off, I need to throw it down, and I need to walk confidently out of that grave and follow Jesus. A lot of times, finding him is the easy part. In this case, Jesus found Lazarus, knew right where he was, and he came to him. He said, Lazarus, come out. Is Jesus asking you to come out, and you keep ignoring him, or are you still holding on to stuff, and so you can't hear him? You know, following him is a lot harder than just finding him. It takes a lot of patience and perseverance, a lot of trust and faith. We have to put our hope in him. Once we become a new creation, we are a child of God at that point. We belong to him. So I want to challenge you this morning. It's time to take off our grave clothes. It's time to walk out of that tomb. Quit living life inside that tomb and say, this is it. This is all God has for me. It's terrible and it stinks. Yeah, you're in the tomb. Take that stuff off and walk and follow Jesus. So I want to encourage you this morning, if that's where you are, if you're at rock bottom, maybe you're not hearing Jesus yet and you need to say, God, I need to hear you. I need to hear your voice in my life. Come up front and pray and pray that very thing. God, I can't hear you. I need to hear you. I need to hear you this morning. Or maybe you have done that and you do hear him, but you haven't taken off the grave clothes yet and you haven't walked out of that grave. Well, let's walk out of that grave together. We found him. Now let's follow him. You're a child of God. It's time for us to live like it. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Father, we thank you for the life that you've given us. We thank you that we are a new creation in you. Father, help us to no longer be a slave to fear or anxiety or whatever it is that's holding us back in our lives. Help us to stand before you and walk right out of that tomb and live our life the way that you want us to live it, and that's following you. Father, hear our hearts this morning. Meet us where we are. Call us by name. Bring us back to life. In your precious and your holy name, I pray. Amen.